Okay. Oh, nice. Okay. Oh. How are you? Oh, nice. Okay. Thank you everyone for coming. Truly an honor and a privilege for me to be able to be here once again to share some Divrei Torah with such a distinguished group. Before we begin, I'd like to thank the Rav, Rabbi Silver Shlita, for his involvement in arranging this year, Rabbi Avraham Rodkin from the Kollel, Director of Education from the Kollel, for his help in arranging this year, and for anyone else from the shul who helped arrange this year and helped publicize this year. As the name of this year indicates, we'll talk about Tanis Esther. Now this Thursday, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll be observing Tanis Esther, the fast of Esther. Normally, Tanis Esther is observed on the 13th of Adar, which is the day before Purim. This year, however, Purim is on Sunday. Purim, the 14th of Adar, is on Sunday. So 13th of Adar is on Shabbos. Since we can't fast on Shabbos, therefore, we have to move the fast earlier, we move it back to Thursday. Now, the first question we have to ask is, once we're moving the fast back, why not move it back to Friday? Can't fast Shabbos, so the next available day is Friday. Why not fast on Friday? So there are a number of different reasons given why not to make the fast on Friday. The reason given by the Mishnah Brura, based on Tshuvas HaGa'inim, quoted in a number of Rishonim, is that on a fast day it's customary to add slichos and other supplications to our prayers. If we were to have a fast day on Friday, the added time spent on prayers would prevent people from being able to prepare for Shabbos properly. If they have to spend more time davening with extra slichos and longer davening, they won't have enough time to prepare for Shabbos properly. Therefore, once we're moving the fast back, instead of moving it to Friday, we move it back to Thursday. Another reason given is that usually we don't recommend fasting on Friday anytime, and the reason is because it's not covered, it's not the proper way to come into Shabbos when a person's starving. A person fasts all day and he's starving, comes into Shabbos. When he's starving, that's not ideal, and therefore, if we're moving the fast back already, we'll move it back to Thursday instead of Friday. Because if we fast on Friday, people will come to Shabbos very hungry. Although we do fast on Friday, that's because that's when it comes out on Friday itself. Since this fast really should be on Shabbos, and we're moving it off of the proper date, so once we're moving it, might as well move it back to Thursday for these reasons. The Kolboy, one of the Yishayim, actually says that you should fast on Friday. However, he adds that there are those who say not to fast on Friday, because fasting on Friday is considered Darkei HaMoivi, following the practices of the non-Jews. Apparently, there's some sort of practice among some of the non-Jews to fast on Friday. Because of that, we try not to fast on Friday whenever possible. Okay. Now, Tanis Esther is a unique fast day. The other four fast days of rabbinic origin all commemorate tragic events in the history of the Jewish people. On Shavuot B'Tammuz, amongst other tragedies, the Luchais were broken when Moshe came down from Sinai and saw the Jewish people serving the Egel. He broke the Luchais. That's considered a tragedy. An idol was placed in the Beis HaMikdash in Shavuot B'Tammuz. And the walls of Yerushalayim were breached at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. For those three reasons, amongst other reasons, other tragedies, we observe Shavuot B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, as a fast day. Tisha B'Av, the next of the rabbinic fast days, mourns, amongst other tragedies, the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash. Both of the Batei Mikdash were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Therefore, that is also a day of mourning. On Tzem Gedalia, we remember Gedalia ben Achikam, the great leader of the Jewish people after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, whose murder led to the death of thousands of Jews and the exile of the remainder of the Jews from Eretz Yisrael. On Asar B'Teves, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Yerushalayim, which eventually led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the other four fast days of rabbinic origin, and they're all days which tragedies happen to Jewish people, and that's why we fast and we mourn. Tanit Esther, however, does not commemorate any tragedy. So what is Tanit Esther all about? Why do we fast on Tanit Esther? So the reason given by the Mishnah Brura, based on the Rosh and the name of Rabbi Nutam, is that on the 13th of Adar, that's the day when the Jewish people went out to war to fight against their enemies. And the practice was, when the Jewish people would go out to war, on that day, they would fast and beseech Hashem to have mercy on them and help them defeat their enemies. Since the 13th of Adar, at the time of the story of Purim, the Jewish people fasted because they were going to war. This was, they were going to take their revenge against their enemies who wanted to kill them. Therefore, we also fast on the 13th of Adar to commemorate that fast day that the people fasted on the 13th of Adar when they went to war against their enemies. The other reason for fasting, for Tanit Esther, which is some Rishonim seem to say, the Rambam and the Kolboy, is that we know the Jewish people fasted, Esther requested the Jewish people fast 3 days before she would go into Ahasuerus to beg Ahasuerus to have mercy and to save the Jewish people. Now, although those fasts were in the month of Nisan, right, it took Pesach time, exactly which days is not clear, but it definitely was on Pesach, those 3 days of fasting that Esther asked Jewish people to fast, even though they were in Nisan, but the explanation is given that during Nisan is a time, there's a lot of different Yom Tov in there, we know we don't say Tachan in the whole month of Nisan, because there's a lot of different days of celebration in the month of Nisan, therefore, since a lot of it is in Nisan, it is, so we move the fasting back to the month of Adar, that's when we celebrate the Yom Tov Purim anyway. Therefore, to commemorate those fasts, those 3 days of fasting, we fast on Tanis Esther, the 13th day of Adar, the day before Purim, we fast Tanis Esther to commemorate those fast days. the truth is that in the Maseches Seifrim, actually bringing down that there was a custom people had, before down in Shulchan Aruch, that the custom of people had to fast 3 days after Purim. Besides the Tanis Esther, there was a custom to fast for 3 days, Monday, Thursday, and a Monday, after Purim, to commemorate those three fast days. However, in some Rishonim seem to understand that Tanis Esther commemorates those three fast days that people fasted before Esther went in to speak to Ahasuerus. Now, it's interesting. The pasuk in which talks about Esther's request that the people fast for 3 days before she goes into Ahasuerus says like this. This is the language of the pasuk. V'tzumu alai ve'al toichlu ve'al tishtu shloishes yomim laila v'yoyim. It says, and fast for me, do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. That's what Esther asked the Jewish people to do. If we take a closer look at the pasuk seems to be repetitive. If the people are told to fast, is it not obvious that they can't eat or drink? Why do you have to say with sumu alai, fast for me, v'al toichlu v'al tishtu, don't eat and don't drink? Well, what else is a fast day? What else does it mean to fast? So why the repetition? So I saw a very interesting answer to this question in a sefer called Brecha Yishamayon. He suggests over there, it's really based on the Medrash, that there were actually two separate sets of 3 days of fasting. There were two separate things. There was 3 days of fasting and another 3 days of fasting. The first 3 days of fasting were for the entire Jewish people. We know that in a time of crisis for the Jewish people, the leaders of the nation could decree that the people fast to bring about repentance and they hope that through that, the crisis will be averted. If there's no rain or other things, we know, right, the Gemara tells us, we know that the leaders of the Jewish people, they could establish that people should fast, right, the fasting is not just not eating, but they should fast and do tshuva, they should repent, and hopefully that will help the situation that the crisis will be averted. So the first set of 3 days of fasting was a fasting for the entire Jewish people, for everybody, everyone would fast those 3 days. This way they could hope that the decree of Haman and Ahasuerus will be able to be somehow taken care of by Esther approaching Ahasuerus. Now the second 3 days of fasting wasn't for the entire Jewish people, rather it was only for the people of Shushan. We know the people of Shushan, they attended the parties that Ahasuerus made, they ate and they drank there. That was a sin, that's part of what brought about the original decree, why Hashem made that originally Haman and Ahasuerus, they should decree to destroy the Jewish people, was because the people of Shushan sinned by eating and drinking at Ahasuerus' parties. So this second set of 3 days of fasting was requested by Esther that the people of Shushan fast on those days So as tshuva is a way of learning and doing tshuva from having eaten, having partaken from the parties that Achashverosh made. And again, this was part of the tshuva process that hopefully this would take help Esther in her attempt to go to Achashverosh and do away with this decree. So those are the 3 days of fasting. There was 3 days of fasting for the entire Jewish people, like any other time, any other Eis Tzara, any other time of suffering for the Jewish people. Then there's another 3 days of fasting, specifically for people of Shushan, because they had committed this aveira of partaking from Achashverosh's party, and therefore they had to do their own special tshuva to repent, to do tshuva from having eaten and drinking that they did by the party of Achashverosh. Therefore, when it says in the pasuk, "Tzumu alai, fast for me," that's referring to the first fast day. That's the fast day for the entire Jewish people. They all have to, they should all fast on those 3 days for general repentance, not for any specific aveira, for general repentance, for general prayer and fasting and repentance, so that Hashem should do away with the decree. And then it says, "Va'al toichlu va'al tishtu," don't drink. That's a reference to the fast that has to do with eating and drinking. Right? The fast, the 3 days of fasting for the people of Shushan, which was so they should repent from the specific aveira, from the specific transgression of eating and drinking from Achashverosh's party, that's what that's referring to. That's referring to a separate 3 days of fasting, which has to do with Baal Tosh and Baal Tosh, who have to do with eating and drinking. You ate and drank by Achashverosh's party, so now don't eat and don't drink for 3 days of fasting, to repent from that, and hopefully Hashem will have mercy on us, and he'll do away with the decree, and he'll save us. Now, there's a very fundamental question about Tanit Esther that is discussed in the Rishonim in the earlier commentaries. The Rishonim ask, why is it that we are allowed to fast on the 13th of Adar, this fast that we call Tanit Esther? Why are we allowed to? Now, yes, why not? Right? Okay. Now, there's two possible reasons why we should not be able to fast on the 13th of Adar. The first reason is the Gemara in Maseches Tanis, Daf Yud Ches, that the 13th day of Adar is called Yom Nikanor. And therefore, because it's called Yom Nikanor, it's a holiday, a day of celebration called Yom Nikanor, therefore it's also behesped of Tanis, one is prohibited from fasting or eulogizing on that day on the 13th of Adar. Now what's Yom Nikanor all about? The Gemara explains that Nikanor was a Greek governor, and he had a daily ritual of waving his hand in the direction of Yerushalayim, and he would boast. And he would say, oh, when this one day this city is going to come under my control and I'm going to trample it. That's what he used to do. Now, when the Hasmonaim defeated the Greeks, they came to power. So they took this fellow Nicanor, they cut off his thumbs and his big toes, and they hung them in the gates of Yerushalayim. And they proclaimed, let this be the revenge against the mouth that spoke with haughtiness and the hands that waved towards Yerushalayim. Now, since the downfall of Nicanor took place on the 13th of Adar, so therefore, the 13th of Adar was designated as a day of celebration. Nicanor was an enemy, an antagonist of the Jewish people. And on the day of his downfall, is considered a day of celebration. And that's why the 13th day of Adar, when Nicanor was taken care of, was designated as a day of celebration. So if the 13th of Adar is a day of celebration, Yom Nicanor, then the day of Yom Nicanor is prohibited to fast on that day. So how could one fast then on Tanis Esther on the 13th of Adar? That's the first reason why it should be prohibited to fast on the 13th of Adar. Excuse me. The second reason is that Megillas Tanis lists a number of days throughout the Jewish calendar that are considered holidays or days of celebration. Now the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and in Tainis tells us that any day that's listed in Megillas Tanis as a day of celebration or as a holiday, the day before it, one is prohibited to fast. We'll discuss this a little more at length later, but that's what Gemara says. Gemara says that any day that's listed in Megillas Tanis as a day of celebration or as a holiday, one is not allowed to fast on the day before it. So the 14th of, in other words, another name for the 14th of Adar is Purim. That's listed in Megillas Tanis. One of the days of celebration, one of the holidays listed in Megillas Tanis is Purim, the 14th of Adar. If so, you go back one day from the 14th of Adar, you get to the 13th of Adar. Right, so the 13th of Adar is the day before a holiday of Megillas Tanis. The day before a holiday of Megillas Tanis, one is not allowed to fast on that day. If so, how could we fast on the 13th of Adar, the day before Purim? How could we fast on Tanis Esther? So the truth is that the first reason that we said doesn't really apply anymore. And the reason is that the Gemara tells us, Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah concludes, that now they no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, but one Megillas Tainus. The days of celebration recorded in Megillas Tainus have been abolished. The days of celebration that are listed in Megillas Tainus, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, they were days of celebration. Now there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, they're no longer considered days of celebration. And therefore, the 13th of Adar, which is Yom Nicanor, till the day of Nicanor's downfall, but still it's no longer celebrated since we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. Now, if the 13th of Adar is no longer celebrated as Yom Nicanor, so Yom Nicanor is not a reason why you should not be allowed to fast on the 13th of Adar. So the first reason that we said is knocked off. That reason is not a reason. Yom Nicanor no longer is celebrated. Therefore, as far as Yom Nicanor is concerned, you should be allowed to fast on the 13th of Adar. But we said another reason. Right. Now, even though we just said that Batlo Megillas Tainus, that the days of celebration that recorded in Megillas Tainus were abolished, the Gemara says that does not apply to Hanukkah and Purim. Hanukkah and Purim, even though they abolished the rest of Megillas Tainus, we no longer celebrate the different days that are recorded there, but that does not apply to Hanukkah and Purim, and we still celebrate Purim. Okay, so I believe. Fine. So now, it would seem reasonable to say that if Purim was not abolished, then the rule that we say that any day that's recorded in Megillas Tainus, the day before if we can't fast, that should still apply to Purim. Once Purim itself is not abolished, so then the day before it should also continue to have this prohibition of fasting. Therefore, the question remains, how could we fast on the 13th of Adar, the day before Purim? It should be no different than any other day, I guess, in the time when Megillas Tainus was still in effect, the day before any holiday of Megillas Tainus that is prohibited to fast, so too the day before Purim should be prohibited to fast on the day before Purim. Now, in order to answer this question, let's see what the source of Tainus Esther is. The passage toward the end of Megillas Esther says, "V'chasher kimu al nafshom ve'al zarum divrei hatzoymos ve'akosom." That the Jewish people accepted upon themselves the days of Purim, just as they accepted upon themselves and on their children the matter of the fasts and their cries. Just like they accepted upon themselves the matter of the fasts and their cries. Now what does that mean? So the Rizid, quoted in the comment on Masechet Tainus, says that the fasts mentioned in this pasuk are referring to the day which we call Tanis Esther. He understands that Tanis Esther was already established, it was instituted already at the time of the story of Purim. At the same time when Mordechai and Esther, they decided and they decreed that there should be a holiday of Purim every year, the 14th of Adar should be celebrated as Purim, they also instituted that the 13th of Adar should be Tanis Esther, it should be a day of fasting, that day should be Tanis Esther, and we should fast on that day. The reason why they established it, the Rav said, like we mentioned before, is because since on that day, that was the day when they went to war, and when they went to war, they fasted. So therefore, they instituted the same way that they went to war on the 13th of Adar, and they fasted that day, so too, we should always fast, in all future generations, we should always fast on the 13th of Adar to commemorate that. Now this idea that Tanis Esther was already instituted at the time of the story of Purim seems to also be the opinion of the She'iltais, Rabbi Yehuda in the Rosh, and the Kolbei. Now, once we say that Tanis Esther was instituted at the same time that Purim was instituted, they were both established at the same time, so then the question that we started with is moot. There's no question anymore, right? If at the same time when they established Purim, they established the day before you should fast, obviously it wasn't included in the holiday and the celebration of Purim that the day before it, you should not be able to fast. Normally we say that a day of celebration, a holiday, listed in Megillas Tainus, the day before it, when it's not allowed to fast. But if we see that at the same time when they established the holiday and the celebration of Purim, they established that the day before it, one should fast, and then apparently they didn't institute the day before it, you shouldn't fast, that it should be prohibited to fast on that day. Now, based on this opinion of the She'iltais, the Rav and Rabbi Tam, that at the same time when they instituted the Yom Tov, the celebration of Purim, they also instituted that the day before it should be a fast, it should be Tanis Esther, we can answer another important quorum. Now, the Mordechai, the commentary that is, in the beginning of his commentary on Maseches Megillah, he asks the following question. He says, we know that here in Chutzar, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we always celebrate two days of Yom Tov, while in Eretz Yisrael, they only celebrate one day of Yom Tov. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is that back a long time ago, Rosh Chodesh, the time when the new month would start, the day when the new month would start, was decided by when witnesses came and testified to Bezdin saying that they saw the new moon. When witnesses would come, right, either on the 30th day of the previous month or the 31st day of the previous month, they would come and they would testify that they saw the new moon, and then the Bezdin would establish, Rosh Chodesh would say that it's Rosh Chodesh and the new month is starting. Now the people who lived far from Eretz Yisrael, far from the Bezdin, they couldn't necessarily know right away which day was determined to be Rosh Chodesh. They had to wait for messengers from Bezdin to come and to tell them which day was Rosh Chodesh, the 30th of the previous first day, 31st day of the previous month. Now sometimes it took a very long time, they didn't know till very late in the month which day was Rosh Chodesh. So what happens if Yom Tov comes along, right? Pesach or the 15th of Nisan, they haven't found out yet which day was Rosh Chodesh. Was it the 30th of the previous month, the present month of Nisan started, or was it the 31st day of the previous month that the present month of Nisan started? So since they didn't know, they had to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. They would keep the 15th of Nisan and the 16th of Nisan, both days of Yom Tov, just in case, to be sure they're keeping the right day of Yom Tov. Now, even though now we have a calendar, we know exactly which day is the proper day of Rosh Chodesh, but since this was the practice of our forefathers, this is what they had to do when they lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, we continue to conduct ourselves the same way our forefathers did. So now the question is, ask the Mordechai, when it comes to Purim, right? Purim took place in between the first and second days of Mikdash, and at that time, they would decide when the new month was based on witnesses coming to testify. So if so, why don't we find that there should be this fake of the Yoima? Why don't we have 2 days of Purim? Right, because of doubt. Why don't we find that there were 2 days of Purim? They celebrate 2 days of Purim, the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, because of this doubt, to be sure that they're observing Purim on the right day. Why don't we find such a thing? That is Mordechai's question. The Mordechai gives an answer, but I would not like to discuss the Mordechai's answer. I would like to discuss a different answer to this question. The Cheshek Shloimo, in his commentary on the Sefer Megillah, he answers Mordechai's question. And the first thing that he points out is that the Mordechai's question is based on a mistaken assumption. And that mistaken assumption is that if there would be a fake of the Yom, if we would observe 2 days of Purim, it would be the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar. That's what the Mordechai says in his question very clearly. That why do we celebrate the 14th and the 15th? We have to read the Megillah on both days. 2 days of celebration, 2 days of Mishloach Manos, presumably. The Mordechai assumes that the 2 days would be the 14th and the 15th. That is a mistake. He says that if we were to observe 2 days of Purim, it would be the 13th of Adar and the 14th of Adar. Now, why is that? He says the other Yomim Tovim, the other holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, they all come after months that usually have 29 days. Right? There's a way the calendar usually works out, right? The way our calendar is set up, and even when they did it based on the witnesses coming, there was still a way that the months would normally come out. So normally, the months before Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, those months normally had 29 days. So therefore, let's say we live outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? So now we assume that the month of Adar had 29 days. We assume that that's the way it normally is. And now it comes to Nisan, it comes to Pesach time. So now we're going to observe Pesach. Right, we'll start counting after the 29th day of Adar. We'll start counting days of Nisan. We'll go 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll get to 15. Now we have to observe Pesach because we have to assume the 15th day of Nisan is Pesach. Now, but we have a doubt. Maybe the month 30 days. If the month before had 30 days, then we're 1 day off. We're 1 day too early. That means the next day should be the day that should really be Pesach. If the month of Adar had 30 days, then the next day after the day we assumed would be Pesach, really the next day, the 16th, according to the way we're calculating, the next day, the 16th, would be Pesach. Therefore, that's why they would keep the 15th of Nisan and the 16th of Nisan as days of Pesach, because since they assumed the month before at 29, then they counted from there 15 and they had Pesach, and just in case the month before at 30, and the next day was really the 15th and was supposed to be Pesach, they would observe the next day as Pesach also. And same with Shavuos, the same with Sukkot. Purim, on the other hand, is an Adar. The month of Shvat normally has 30 days. Now, if the month of Shvat normally has 30 days, so then what's going to happen? In other words, if we assume the month before has 30 days, we'll start counting after the 30th day. We'll count 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll get to the 14th, and we'll observe Purim. But now, what we have to be concerned about is maybe the month before only has 29 days. In that case, we'd be making Purim a day late. Therefore, think ahead, and we have to, when it comes to the 13th of Adar, according to the way we're calculating, starting to count the days of Adar after the 30th day of Shvat, if we start counting from there, then we have to observe Purim on the 13th of Adar, in case Shvat only has 29 days. Normally it has 30 days, but we still have to be concerned at the time when they determine the Rosh Chodesh based on the witnesses, right? They still have to be concerned. What they would have to be concerned for was that the 13th of Adar, the way they're counting the days, was the correct day of Purim. And therefore the proper day to observe as the sake of the Yoyma, as an extra day of observance of Purim just in case, would be the 13th of Adar, not the 14th of Adar. That's the first thing the Chesh Shlomo says. Chesh Shlomo says that based on this calculation, the fact that Shvat normally has 30 days, therefore it should come out that if we would observe 2 days of Purim, just in case, those 2 days would be the 13th and the 14th. Okay. Now he says, well, if we follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and the Raizid and the Shiltis, they say that already from the time that Purim was established, at that same time, they established that the 13th should be Tanis Esther, should be a day of fasting. If that's the case, then you couldn't possibly observe Purim on the 13th. How could you have a fast on the 13th and observe Purim on the 13th? Doesn't really work. He brings up the possibility. He could have said just read the Megillah on the 13th, but he said reading the Megillah without having Purim, that's not Purim, just reading the Megillah without having all the festivities and the merriment of Purim, without that it's not really Purim, therefore it wouldn't be appropriate to just have reading the Megillah. Therefore, since it can't work out, you couldn't possibly observe the extra day, you know, the only appropriate day to observe as an extra day for Purim would be the 13th, and that can't be done because for the time that they established Purim, they established, that the 13th of Adar should be a fast day, therefore it's not possible to observe the extra day of Purim, and therefore that's why we don't find that there was a sake of the Yom that they observed an extra day of Purim just in case they made a mistake in the calculation. So based on this, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Raivin and the Shiltis, we could also answer this question of the Mardechai, why there's no sake of the Yom, why there's no extra day of Purim observed because of this uncertainty exactly which day Rosh Chodesh was. Now, there are those, however, who argue with the Raizid. They say that Purim, that Tanis Esther was not established at the same time as Purim. So Abu Dram points out that Tanis Esther is not recorded anywhere in Tanakh or anywhere in the Gemara. We don't find that Tanis Esther is recorded anywhere. And therefore, he says that indeed Tanis Esther was instituted much later on after the conclusion, after the completion of the Talmud, after the Chasimus HaTalmud, only later on, much later, many years after the story of Purim, that's when Tanis Esther was established. Now, as far as the pasuk that the Raivid based his opinion on, Kimu al Nasham val Zaram Divya Simis Zakosam, as far as that pasuk is concerned, so what is that referring to? If it's not referring to the institution of Tanis Esther, so some explain that what it means to say is that the Jews accepted upon themselves to celebrate, to commemorate the miracle of Purim, just as they accepted upon them fasting and mourning to commemorate the tragedies that had happened to them, specifically the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile from Eretz Yisrael. The same way that in those times of sadness and times of tragedy, they established fast days and days of mourning, so too, when it came to the great miracle of Purim, they established a day of Purim, a day of celebration and rejoicing. Others explain the pasuk differently. They explain that what the pasuk means to say is that the Jewish people accepted upon themselves to observe Purim to commemorate this story that they were in great danger, and at that time they accepted upon themselves to fast and to pray, and that is what brought about this miracle of Purim. Right? The part of the institution of Purim was is instituted Purim to commemorate that they were in great danger, and then they fasted and they prayed to Hashem, and then the miracle of Purim happened because of that, and that's all included in what the Yom Tov of Purim is coming to commemorate. The alternate explanation of the pasuk will accept is the first reason that they established Purim to celebrate the miracle, the same way they established the fasting and mourning to commemorate the tragedies, or that they accepted upon themselves to celebrate Purim to commemorate the miracle that happened because of their fasting and their prayers. Either way, we're back to the original question. If we don't say that Tanis Esther was established at the same time as the story of Purim, so then we're back to the original question, how could we fast on the 13th of Adar? It's the day before Purim, and Purim is the day that's listed in Tanis and in Megillas Tanis as a day of celebration, and the day before a day of celebration, we're not allowed to fast. So another answer to that question, also given by the Ravid, is that Tanis Esther is not like any other fast day. Other fast days, like we mentioned before, are days of mourning and sadness. Tanis Esther, however, is a commemoration of the Purim story, which Hashem saved the people in a miraculous way. The Kol Goy as well, called Tanis Esther, a Tanis Shal Simcha, a fast day of happiness. Now, since the spirit of Tanis Esther comes to commemorate a miracle, it's a fast day of happiness, so its spirit is not contradictory to the spirit of a holiday, so therefore we are allowed to fast even on the day of Purim. Such a kind of fast, like Tanis Esther, that it's not a day of sadness, and it's not a day of mourning, rather it's a day of happiness, like the Kobay tells us, such a fast we're allowed to have on the day before Purim, even though Purim is a day of celebration listed in Megillas Tanis, but still, this kind of fasting is permitted on the day before Purim. Now, the question that begs to be asked is that if the 13th of Adar is indeed a day of happiness, as the Kol Goy tells us, or it commemorates the miracle of Purim, like the Ravid says, then why are we fasting and not celebrating joyously? If indeed it's true, it's a fast day of happiness. Well, if it's happiness, why are you fasting? If things don't seem to be able to coexist. So the answer to this question is suggested in the Sefer Or Avraham from Avraham Gurwitz from Yerushalayim. Now he bases his explanation of the words of the Rambam in his introduction to his halachic work, the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam over there explains what's the reason why we read the Megillah and celebrate the holiday of Purim. And he says, "Kidei lohidia l'doyrois haboyim," in order to make it known to all future generations, she'emes ma'ashiv tichonu ba'toyroh, that it is true that which Hashem promised us in the Torah, ki mi goy godoy l'asher lo yelikim kroyden eilov, ka'ashem alikinu b'chol kareinu eilov, for which nation is so great that it has a God who is close to it, as Hashem our God, whenever we call to Him. In other words, what we celebrate on Purim is not just that the Jewish nation was in danger of being annihilated, and Hashem, so to speak, swoops in to save them. Rather, what we celebrate on Purim, Jewish people, they were in terrible danger. And what did they do when they were in terrible danger? They didn't just stand by and wait for Hashem to save them, wait for Hashem to come in and help them. Rather, when all hope seemed to be lost, they turned to Hashem. They fasted. They prayed. They repented. And because of that, because of the prayers, because of the fasting, because of the repentance, Hashem saved them in a miraculous fashion. When we look at the story of Purim, when we look at our celebration of Purim, we're not celebrating just that Hashem came in and did such wondrous things for us. But rather, the Jewish people were part and parcel of the miracle of Purim. The miracle of Purim happened because the Jewish people, when they were in trouble, when there was a decree against them to annihilate them, what did they do? The reaction was they turned to Hashem with prayer, with fasting, with repentance, as a Jew should always do in a time of trouble. And because of that, that's what played a very important part in the miracle of Purim. Because of that, that's what brought about the miracle of Purim. That's what brought about that Hashem should save them in miraculous fashion. And the story of Purim is supposed to reinforce in our minds. Hashem is always close to us. No matter what, Hashem is always close to us. And whatever predicament we might find ourselves in, and no matter how bleak the situation seems to be, we can be sure if we call out to Hashem, Hashem will listen to us and He'll always be there for us. Now with a new understanding of the celebration of Purim, says Rabbi Gurwitz, you can understand that the fast on the day before Purim is an integral part of the celebration of Purim. Tanis Esther, which is a day of fasting, a day of prayer, a day of repentance, represents the idea that the miracle of Purim came about because we called out to Hashem in our time of need, and He heard our voices. Tanis Esther is the day before Purim. Tanis Esther is the prayer, is the repentance, is the fasting, And Purim, the next day, is a day that celebrates, that commemorates the miracle. First, what came first in the story of Purim? The first thing was the Jewish people, they turned to Hashem, they called out to Hashem. Prayer, fasting, repentance, all those things, that's what's represented by Tanis Esther. That's what came first. That's what we have the day before Purim. Then, the next day we have Purim, that's because that was the result of the fasting, the result of that were presented by Tanis Esther was the miracle of Purim, that Hashem indeed came about, came along, and Hashem saved us in a miraculous fashion. So what we are to take out of Tanis Esther is that whenever we encounter troubles or suffering in our own lives, we can feel secure knowing that Hashem will surely listen to our cries and our prayers when we call out to Him. And the truth is, this explanation of Tanis Esther already appears in the Mishneh Berurah. Mishneh Berurah writes that the reason for the institution of Tanis Esther is today lives Kosh Hashem Yisborach Roye V'Shemeah Kol Ish Beis Torosoy Kasher Yisanev Yoshev Al Hashem B'Chol Avavoy Kmosh Osev Yom Mahim. In order to remember why we fast on Tanis Esther, in order to remember that Hashem sees and hears every Jew in his time of suffering when he fasts and returns to Hashem with all his heart, just like he did in those days in the time of the story of Purim. Now just quickly, one more reason why we fast on the day before Purim, very interesting, the Beis Yosef, in the Sefer Magen Neshorim, he says that the reason we fast on the day before Purim is a day of joyous celebration, festive meals, and drinking wine. And when a person's involved in eating, drinking, and merriment, he's particularly susceptible to the Yetzer Hara's attempts to make him sin. Now, in order to ensure that we don't come to sin on Purim, when we're involved in eating and drinking and we're joyous, in order to ensure that we don't come to sin, we preempt the Yetzer Hara by fasting on the day before. After spending the whole day resisting our desire to eat and drink, we're much better prepared to withstand any attempts by the Yetzer Hara to make us sin. And now that we discussed the meaning of Tanis Esther, I could truly wish you that on Thursday you should have an easy and meaningful fast. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for listening.